Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, July 14, 2020. Now on the line, our man Nick Lecky, former K-State All-American Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints. What's up, Nick Lecky? How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
You have access to Twitter?
Only certain times of the day I do.
How about right now?
It's like yeah, I do. Why? What's up? I'm looking at your glorious picture.
I'd like you to rate my full head of hair that I long for, that I will never have again, but it's just to show that I wasn't always bald. My daughters were very excited to see this, and boy, I had a hair helmet back then. I don't remember having that much hair, but that was quite a, someone has already described it as a Jose Canseco hairstyle, which I guess that, I'll accept that, but, you know, but whatever.
It sure is. Jose Canseco was first time with the Athletics. Back
right.
In the 80s.
I had my Wolfpack shirt on, and I was very excited to be standing next to Daron Cherry. Jake Pounders, I'm sure that you love that picture very much.
It's a great picture.
Daron. I don't know.
I love it.
His part's a great picture there. But
That's awesome. Right.
That's Daron in his prime.
That's exactly. That's me in my prime. Time. What are you talking about?
Hey, Steven,
you had a prime?
We like to call that that hairdo. That's that Lego snap-on do.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Snap that right on the top, man. Just like that. Oh, what a satisfying feeling to find a Lego wig and to put it on a Lego person. This changes the whole game. It really does.
That's exactly right.
It really does.
Nick Lecky is our guest. All right, Nick, do you have anything to say about all the talk of Chris Jones and his tweets and his stories that he's been tweeting and everything else, the cryptic tweets? We are just hours away from tomorrow's 3 o'clock deadline. What do you make of it? Will it just be a whole lot of nothing and they just move on as they have, or do you think something could happen? Weigh in on the Chris Jones saga, Nick Lecky.
Man, I think it feels like he wants to be here for the right price, and it seems like he's Johnny Dangerously, right? He's willing to play ball.
So
we'll see how they structure it. You know, we'll see how they structure it.
I love it. That reference is great.
Right, Johnny Dangerously is an underrated movie.
Super.
I don't know if it'll withstand. I think it'll withstand the test of time.
It does.
I might watch that tonight.
Michael Keaton.
I want to live dangerously. Dangerously.
My mother hung me on a hook once. Once.
Right, that's exactly right. I need to watch that again, Nick Lecky, and see how rewatchable that is.
I bet it's rewatchable.
Oh, yeah, Roman Maroney.
Yeah.
Knock down this wall. Knock down this.
Michael Keaton and Joe Piscopo.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Maroney deported to Sweden, claims he's not from there. I mean, just a great flick. I mean, just all around. The best to me is the mom. The mom, like, she really steals the show with her quotes. Like, when they give her the ashtray for Christmas and she goes, "Oh, this clinches it. I've been thinking about taking up smoking and this clinches it."
Ma
the
Kelly.
Mother, played by the great Maureen Stapleton. And let me tell you, we're talking about Lil. And that song that she performed, Mary Lou Henner in her prime.
Yeah.
Top notch, straight off the small screen in Taxi and onto the big screen in Johnny Dangerously. Yes, I need to watch this again. Thank you.
And
no one's mentioned Dom DeLuise as the Pope.
Oh, Dom DeLuise.
He missed the bus. I missed the bus. We all missed the bus.
The bus
you look how many. I'm looking. So, okay, I just looked it up right That's now.
Thank you for that
heavy
reference.
Hitters back then. You had Dick Butkus, Ray Walston, Mr. Hand, of course, from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know,
there's a paper guy.
Aloha,
Danny DeVito.
Mr. Hand.
Yeah.
I'm blind.
Danny DeVito, Dom DeLuise, Peter Boyle, Maureen Stapleton. What a great movie. And so your point about Chris Jones was.
That it does appear that he is like all these texts, all these tweets, but you got to think, man, that's as a player, man, and knowing, you know, you're going to get paid somewhere, or you're going to sign another, you know, a deal with the Chiefs or long term. So there's a lot of emotions, and I know everyone's like, oh, well, you know, it's, you know, he's getting paid big money, all this stuff, but I mean, it's a big time in his life. You know, it really is a breaking point where, you know, all the hard work and dedication has come to a point where, you know, they can put a value on your talent, right? And then you can, you know, provide for family and all that good stuff, you know? You can bring some people up with you. It's an interesting moment, that's for sure.
Okay, on a more serious topic, we've been taking a look at some of the pictures that have come out of Patrick Mahomes in GQ.
Oh.
Have you seen these pictures on social media yet, Nick?
I just started seeing them this morning. I will admit, though, I've been a GQ subscriber since, like, 2002. You know, they just got a new editor, Will Welch, and he's, like, more of a music rock guy about a year ago. So it's been pretty interesting, the slight twist of things in GQ. But, yeah, it's always on the edge of fashion.
You're very fashion-forward yourself, aren't you?
I am. I tend to be. My style is understated.
Yep.
I used to wear V-necks, but from Gap.
Yep.
Because they have 3X tall. And then now I'm an Old Navy crew neck pocket T-shirt guy from Old Navy. But, you know, you got to buy them on that deal, right? Like, my wife will, like, slap my paw. I try to get something on Old Navy for full price because they always have some crazy deals where you can get a bunch of shirts for, like, $4 a pop. Like, it's mind-blowing, to be honest with you.
So,
it really is.
So how do you break down the Patrick Mahomes sitting on a cooler with what looks like a floral print jacket, a hooded sweatshirt, tight shorts that match the jacket, so like a suit, almost like a matching, you know, short jacket combo with with some what look like Rod Laver tennis shoes on? What do we think here? The shorts with the hoodie and jacket combo for Patrick Mahomes.
You know, I think the term is fit. I think it's a great fit. You know, it's stylish. I think it could win better with the socks. You know, wearing some white like tube socks looking thing. Could have done with some Nikes, maybe some off whites. I think
he's an Adidas guy though.
He's staying on brand here.
He
could have wore some Yeezy Boost or something like that. I don't know, man. Just, I guess it's a cool nod if those are the Rod Labors, Stan Smiths, classic retro Adidas shoe. I don't look good in those, but yeah, and the purple hoodie underneath too. Bring it back, the hoodie on hoodie. I like that. It's a good streetwear fit. And that old cooler, what a shout out to Thermos, right? Instead of doing the Yeti,
right?
It's old school. It's old school.
Stan Smith or old school? I love Stan Smith.
It is. Were you a fan of those?
I was. I had a pair.
Good in them.
I had a pair of gray leather ones.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
I think, man, Nate and I can agree on this because we're both sneakerheads. So we're both Jordan fans.
Yep.
So I like that a lot. I like this. I'm grateful that I can't wear this stuff because I'm too big. So I save a lot of money by not being able to buy like nice clothes. Really?
You're not too big. You're not too big to wear that.
Yeah, I don't. Right. I don't agree. I think you would fill this out very, very nicely.
My God, I would. I do like the whole short rev. Not the short revolution, but the shorts that just hang right to your kneecaps.
Yeah, like mid thigh, maybe.
Nope.
These are mid thigh. Mahomes is going mid thigh.
That's because he's sitting.
They're pulled up because he's seated. He's seated. Nate likes the mid thigh.
Those aren't going much below mid thigh. I'm telling you.
You don't think so?
No.
You're right because his right leg. But it's a great shot. That's a really cool shot. I like the cover shot. He's rocking that old school like. You guys remember like in the 80s or 90s when like the Nike jumpsuit that was like made the swish swish sound was like the grail, like a grail piece.
Oh, that was all I wore in 8th grade and 9th grade at Bishop Ward High School in St. Peter's Cathedral was Nike Flight jumpsuits.
But was it like the silk one or was it like the ruffly one? Because I had like the cheap
Burlington Coat Factory ruffly one. You know? Like, I
never, yeah.
I didn't have like the slick one. I didn't have the slick. I was one of the Nike slick one. I was like, that was for like the rich people. Like I had the crappy, yeah. Like the, yeah. It wasn't cool like the Nike. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's different versions of sweatsuits in the 80s and 90s.
There was, I remember I had a couple because I had a cheap one that seemed like it was made out of paper mache. Like it would get all wrinkly, you know?
Yeah, and it was lined.
The creases.
Yeah,
the creases.
Yeah.
They get creases.
Yeah.
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 But, dude, I got a Nike Air Flight, like black jacket, like, you know, and it came with the like the black pants that was that kind of warm-up suit, and I was the most bougie kid in school. Like I got yeah, you got, I think I got chased down State Avenue a couple times because of that jumpsuit, you know.
Oh, guarantee. Why? Because I wanted to take it.
Wait, then let's talk more about that. Stop right there. Let's hear more about you getting chased down State Avenue. Nick, I'm sorry I had to get in there, Nick. I don't want to let that one slip away, Nick. That's very. Can you elaborate, please?
Well, first of all, as we know, when I was in eighth grade, I was actually exactly 80 pounds. I can remember how much I weighed in pretty much each grade of school because it was that grade times 10. So I was 80 pounds. In eighth grade, I was less than 5 feet tall. I was shorter than I think most of the girls in my class, and we were at an after hours gathering, right across the street from Wyandotte High, and my buddy Phil Hernandez and another friend of ours decided that they wanted to go to the Piggly Wiggly, and maybe get
some. What's that?
It's like a grocery store. And,
right, thank you.
And buy some and get some toilet paper because we were going to TP the house party.
Yes.
Wow, you little butthole.
Yes. I forgot where that was going. I thought you were stocking up for the pandemic.
Yeah, no, this would have been about 1989. Okay. It was a Saturday night in KCK, baby. This is the wild times, you know. And
you
I think
you walked the Piggly Wiggly, right?
Yeah, and you know, I the little guy, you're trying to get street cred for whatever you can. And I think the only reason I was invited was because as a little guy, I could like climb the trees and you know. Anyway, so we're walking back, and right across the street from the Piggly Wiggly was City Fish. I think it's still there, like a fried fish fast food joint, you know, and. There were some high school age kids that were easily twice my size that started shouting at me about what size the Jordans were that I was wearing. And my buddy Phil said, "Why don't you ask what size this you know what is?" Really loud across the street to him.
Hand?
Clever.
That's aggressive.
Clever.
Yeah,
impressive.
Right? It was a snappy comeback, but they immediately jumped up and started chasing us. Down the street, and I was sure that if I was caught, I was going to be killed. I climbed over a privacy fence behind the auto parts store right there on the corner, and hid and cried for about an hour.
You're so tough, dude.
Man, am I glad I asked this question.
By the way,
and now we all gotta laugh at it.
And that is all a true story.
Nate, are you sucking your thumb and rocking in a chair right now?
Dude, like, I would not. I was like, I don't know how I climbed that fence so fast, but I did. And I hid behind it, and I don't know how. It felt like I was there for an hour, and I was like, I am not moving. And, you know, like, and I don't care how long. And Phil finally came around the corner and found me. Like an hour later, and it convinced me that it was safe to come out.
Wow. So I was junior year after a football game in Grapevine, Texas, and where it was like the Friday before, and Halloween was a Sunday that year, I think, or Saturday. And we were just walking at night. It was about 10 o'clock at night with some friends, obviously walking around. And one of my buddies like decided to like just grab a pumpkin off a thing and just throw it up in the air. And like let it break. So we did that like two or three times, and someone called the cops on us. So we're just walking at night, and we see a cop car. And what's your normal reaction like when you're a junior in high school, right? You just run, right?
Yeah.
We used to call it getting chases. So we just decided to run, right? And they all ran like they ran laterally or perpendicular to the street when they saw the cop car. And I tried to run like the same direction as the cop car. And then he's like, he drove in front of me because the car is faster than any human being possible, and especially me. I was 280 pounds, mate.
Nice.
And then so I turned around, and I tried to scale the fence. You know, it was like 6 foot, but it was like the flat side. And so I grabbed the top and tried to jump up, and that cop, you know, he grabbed me, put me in handcuffs, and put me in the back of a cop car.
You got and cuffed and stuffed.
I did. I sure did. What a great term. And I heard him, you know, he put his hand up to his shoulders like, yeah, I got the big one. And I remember I was in the back of the cop car thinking, this can be a cool story in a couple of years if I don't get arrested. And then, sure enough, the cop just couldn't find my other buddies. And, you know, he asked me where they were, and I did not drop a dime on my buddies.
You kept your mouth shut.
Omerta is the appropriate term. And he let me go and said, like, he, like, gave me a real lesson, like, hey, I got kids at home. You know, what if you would have bashed, you know, my kids' funky? You want to ruin Halloween like that? And I was like, you know, right, that was dumb. And he let me go. So, yeah, that was my last time I ever threw a pumpkin up in the air like a jerk.
Yeah, I was scarred as a kid because there were some high school kids. I was probably like 6 or 7, and I was up with an earache, and my mom was up with me, and all of a sudden, like at 2 a.m, we just hear these tires skid, and then we see our pumpkins all over our driveway, and I haven't been the same ever. I mean, those were my most favorite pumpkins I ever purchased from the pumpkin patch, and they were all over our driveway, wrecked.
Someone ruined it.
Some jerk like Nick Leckie.
Some jerk like you. I'm still scarred.
I wasn't in my... Wow. Someone in the Camaro doing smoky burnouts on your pumpkins? That's a dick move.
Yep.
100%.
You just grabbed them. Yeah.
I will politely decline on any stories from the northeast neighborhood of Kansas City. We're really going to slide right past that one.
Yeah, all of our stories were very PG.
Right. I'm gonna take old time out. And back to Chris Jones.
Dude,
back to Nick getting caught by the police. I outrun. I mean, I never got caught. I outrun him every time.
Dude, I still like sometimes whenever I'm back like in that neighborhood in KCK, and I drive by that. I don't know if it's still a Piggly Wiggly now, what it is.
It's not.
But I drive by that auto parts store, and that privacy fence is still there. And I like that's like one of those spaces in time where I'm like, I literally thought I might die in that place right there. And I still think about it when I drive by there. So there thank you, Phil Hernandez.
Wow. So like you said, Stephen, back to Chris Jones.
Right. That's exactly right. So Nick, I have a question about Chris Jones that I'd like to ask you from the perspective. I'd like to give, you know, to hear from your perspective as a former NFL offensive lineman. Tell me about Chris Jones as far as, what he would be like, you think, watching him to try to block. And if you subscribe to the theory that the Chiefs, because Bill Barnwell was on the program with Soren Petro and had a lot of numbers that supported this, do you believe that the Chiefs don't suffer that big of a drop-off without Chris Jones on the field? Tell me maybe from, if you were trying to game plan to face this defense, the importance, the impact of Chris Jones, or if you think the Chiefs would be just fine without him?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think obviously, you know, you can, you know, they can make do without him. But with him in the lineup, man, he presents a problem for your interior offensive lineman. It's like when you're playing the Chiefs with Chris Jones and you're center or guard or even a tackle, you know, you're going to have to account for Chris Jones. You're going to have to see where he's at in the field because he's going to be tough to just pass pro solo. So he's going to create some double team matchups where the center will hang in his direction on some plays, and then you're going to have a one-on-one matchup on the other guard spot. You know, so you're going to have to that other interior D lineman, you know, whoever it be, is going to have to be, you know, one person to get there. So what he does is he frees up your other D tackle to go solo. And even when he is, and if he gets singled up, man, he's winning that pass rush. He is just going to win that pass rush. And he's such a presence in the inside where it's like, man, you can't run in there. You can't run on him. It's a bright spot. And if you have to game plan for an interior defensive tackle, man, that creates a lot of headaches for O coordinators trying to deal with that. And just me personally, like, I'll watch games, and I've been retired for, or I'm sorry, asked not to come back for a long time now, and he still gives me minor nightmares. Yeah, he does, man. Just minor nightmares. Cause he's such a damn good player. He's big. He's quick. He's got strength. You know, and it just that's a deadly combo, and that's everyone's Achilles heel, right? Is that sort of power, and just
And he made such an impact in the Super Bowl, getting up there and getting his hands on the football. You know,
those are catches that if caught, go for 20, 30 yards and really shift momentum of a game. Really give you hope as an offense when you make those sort of like. You know, throws that go where the linebackers were, and they're in coverage, and they go, you know, 15, 20, 25 yards. You know, that really boosts your confidence for sure. So he was crucial for sure. But yeah, man, I love Chris Jones, man. Stone cold.
So what is he worth?
Is he worth Aaron Donald money?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely is. I would say, you know, Aaron Donald is a little bit better of a pass rusher just because he's a little bit quicker. But, I mean, Chris Jones, he's every down, just like Aaron Donald. And, you know, those two are like, when I think of D tackles in this league, those are the first two. And then it's everyone else by a country mile, you know, like just the way those guys play, just it's unreal, man. They're on another level for NFL players. That's for damn sure. And that chart showed it. That next gen chart showed it. The win rate, time wise, and then the most times being double teamed. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's the best? Who's the best defensive tackle you faced either in college or in the NFL?
Chris Jenkins, for sure in the NFL. He was just an absolute monster. One time, we played the Browns, and Ted Washington was he was like 400 pounds, Big Ted.
he was stout.
I remember blocking him, right? I went to like set on him, right? And I remember like I did a quick set on Ted, and like where like, you know, he's in this little 3-point stance with like one finger on the ground, so he ain't getting into a real stance. And I remember jumping him real quick, like at his shoulder pads, and him standing up. And it'd be like someone put like a telescoping ladder. Like I felt like a kid. Like I was like, I'm still grabbing on her shoulder pads, but my hands like lifted up about 4 feet. And so I'm holding my grip. And he gave me this double arm chop where I swear to God, I wish my arms were broken. Like it like vibrated through like my radius and ulna up to my shoulder. So yeah. And then in college, Kevin Williams at Okie State. He was a monster.
Yeah, Kevin Williams is a beast. Oh.
Man, he was underrated too in college until he got drafted like top five. It was like, wow. But yeah.
So you didn't like the Ted Washington double chop. You would not like to have that again in your life.
Dude, no, I've never been hit my arms that hard. Like where he just like I'm gripping the shoulder pads and he just did this like little like with his hands and yeah, I felt my arms like vibrate. I was like, is that my spidey senses tingling or is that my body telling me just to shut it down and play dead? Like I didn't know.
Nick Lecky, we've seen an NBA player get in a little bit of trouble because he left the bubble just for a moment to get some delicious food that he ordered for delivery, and now he's quarantined for 10 days. If you were in a bubble, what would be your biggest temptation that would tempt you to cross the line and leave the bubble to receive the delicious food delivery? What would it What would you risk it all for?
I'd risk it all for some a fried chicken sandwich. I'd risk it for some Popeyes, spicy chicken. That's what I would do.
What's your side though?
My side is four thighs. That's what I'm getting. Four spicy thighs. With no sides, because you got to save calories.
You know what? Popeyes, underrated side. Underrated side at Popeyes, red beans and rice.
Oh, no. Tremendous side.
Phenomenal.
That's what I would get. And
green beans
only because they have Louisiana hot sauce, and I'm putting about a 1-to-1 ratio of Louisiana hot sauce to the red beans and rice.
Yeah, I need to hear what he ordered before I fully criticize him, because if it's something like that, then, well, you know, hey, you know, he thought he was going to be back in time. But
right?
You quarantine with a chicken sandwich. That's the difference.
Right.
Nick Lecky, thank you very much. What's that?
did he get to eat it? I don't know.
That's what they, did he get the food anyway, or is it just?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
That's a double whammy. If you got a quarantine for 10 days and you didn't get your Popeyes.
Oh, I got a story.
No, he got the food.
I got a story for off air when I got about a $50 order of drive thru and I didn't get to eat any of it.
Oh, no. Is this in college?
Why does that have to be off this? Now, why do you say that on the air? Why do you say that on the air when people can hear it and then they don't get the payoff?
Because I wasn't proud of what happened. It was
at McDonald's?
It was actually at a Hardee's.
$50 at Hardee's?
Well, I was sent there.
You know, you can hit $50 at Hardee's real quick.
It was me. I was sent there solo. Right. It was an order for three. It was a three-person order for $50. So, it was over 50. So,
okay.
For me and two other guys, but I went through the drive-thru and then was pulled over after exiting the drive-thru.
No.
And then in the parking lot, my food stayed till the next morning. Because I was arrested. It was not for. I was
picturing like your coach taking it away from you.
No, I begged the cop, like, can I at least take the food with me? He's like, nope. Morning, getting into the car after a night of bags of Hardee's sitting in the car wrecked it. I mean, anyways.
Wait, hold on. You didn't eat it.
None of it.
Be honest.
Well, the next morning when you got in there?
I tried the fries, and they were just, because it was like 8 or 10 hours later. I mean, we say next morning.
10-hour-old fries?
It was like, it was like later that afternoon the next day.
Hey, cautionary tale, kids.
I took a couple bites of the Frisco burger, and the mayo was warm.
That bread on the Frisco burger. The Frisco breakfast sandwich is so good, too. Yeah, you can get into that. You can go down that rabbit hole when you're hardy. You start ordering stuff. Yeah. Like, you know what? Let me get a ham and cheese sandwich too. Let me throw that in there, and then all of a sudden your bill's going through the roof.
Right. So, I feel that pain. I hope you got to eat the food.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll see.
Nick, thank you very much for allowing us to hear a story about Nate being chased down State Avenue. We appreciate that.
And the Johnny Dangerous referee. That's
we covered a lot today.
Really, I'm proud of everyone today. Good job, everyone.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good one.
That is Nick Lecky, former K-State All-American, former Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints. Back after this on WHB.